As I mentioned before, Dean Richard, myself, and about 42 other people coming back from a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I hope to be able to, at some point, be able to do some sort of a presentation to let those who want to see more about that, to be able to see and hear more about that trip. But for now, to be able to say that it was a truly wonderful experience, to be able to see those places where Christ was. But I want to stress to people that even if you never get a chance to be able to go on an actual physical pilgrimage, even if you never, whether just because of time restraints or financial restraints or whatever, not being able to get a chance to be able to go on a pilgrimage like that someplace, you can always go on a spiritual pilgrimage. What I mean by that is that you don't actually necessarily have to physically go to a place, but to be able to reflect upon these places. To be able to be there with Jesus in these places. Because in a physical pilgrimage, you get to go to these different places to be able to reflect on being there in those places. We were able to go to Cana in Galilee, to be able to go to the place where this miracle happened. We were able to go to Bethlehem, touch the place of the birth. We were able to go to the River Jordan, renew our baptismal promises. We were able to go around Galilee to many of the different places where Jesus grew up, where he did his ministry. We were able to go to Jerusalem and be there in those places where Jesus spent his last days on earth, to be able to actually be at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where he was crucified, died, buried, and rose again from the dead. One doesn't have to necessarily actually go to those physical places to be able to still say to God, I want to do a spiritual pilgrimage. Reflect on these places where Christ has been, to ask Christ to bless us, to help us to grow ever closer to him. And so whether we go on a physical pilgrimage or a spiritual pilgrimage, in a pilgrimage, Christ reveals himself to us in a special way. He helps us to be able to be closer to him. And that's precisely what's happening in this gospel passage. Christ is revealing himself, his glory, to the people there. Those of you who read my bulletin article last week may recall that I mentioned how the feast of the Epiphany used to be about three different feasts. The actual Feast of the Epiphany, the Baptism of the Lord, and a celebration of this first miracle, the miracle of the wedding of Cana. And the reason why those three were grouped together was because in each of them, Christ is revealed in some way to the world. In the Epiphany, you have men from a far-off land out east coming to worship Christ. And so other nations, other people, other than just the Jewish nation, are being introduced to Jesus. Jesus is revealed in that way. In baptism, the Holy Spirit comes down upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son." So Christ is revealed in that way. And then in today's feast day that we hear about in the Gospel, Christ reveals his glory in performing his first miracle and beginning his public ministry to the world. And so in each of those, Christ is having an epiphany. He is showing his glory, showing himself to the world. And so it's important to realize that, yeah, Christ is revealing himself in a special way, and he can reveal himself to us in our own lives. And that goes back to what I was saying, that we can go on a spiritual pilgrimage. We don't have to actually physically go anywhere, though you can certainly go in some way. You can say, okay, we're going to go to Duluth, but we're going to make it a spiritual pilgrimage, as if we were going to a far-off land. Committing this travel, whatever happens in that travel, committing it to being closer to Christ. Christ be closer to us, that Christ may reveal himself to us. There are wonderful ways in which we can be closer to Christ, closer to our God, and that God can reveal himself, calling us ever closer to him. This later part of this last week was the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade. And so many different groups have done marches for life. Many churches in this area are doing a novena of masses to pray for life, by greater respect for life, an end to abortion. Because of the very fact that this is, we consider it a travesty, a massacre of innocent lives. Now we want to ask God to be able to help us to end abortion in this country. I bring this up because Christ, in revealing himself to us, Christ inviting us to be closer to him, is calling us to be able to do our part, to be able to end that. Whether it is in, we don't have to necessarily, if we're not of the type that want to have to face off against anybody and say anything, we can still pray. Can do our part in some way. Pray for those who suddenly find themselves pregnant, don't know what to do. Pray for those who are considering having an abortion or helping somebody have an abortion. Praying for those who want to have the child but have no idea what they're going to do, how they're going to make it work. To be able to pray for those truly who want to support life but just need that help. Be able to find ways to be able to help those in need. As Christ reveals himself to us, we are called to do all the more to help bring about his kingdom, to help bring about his glory. As we continue on our own pilgrimages in this life, may Christ reveal himself to us, help us to do his will in our lives.